Welcome back to Faith and Feels. My name is Rica Matoba Lopez, and I'm a licensed marriage family therapist and a certified sex addiction therapist. Today's episode features Pastor Curtis and Carol Lowe, faithful leaders with decades of ministry experience and a deep heart for spiritual formation. You'll hear their journey through parenting, pastoring multicultural churches, and dealing with their own mental illness, and the powerful breakthrough they experienced in the 17th year of their marriage. If you've ever wondered what it takes to build a Christ-centered marriage, this is for you. Be sure to listen all the way to the end. You do not want to miss their moving and powerful, powerful testimony. Now let's dive in. Welcome to Faith and Feels. We have a special guest today, Pastor Curtis and his wife, Carol. Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you, Rica. Happy to be here.
Pastor Curtis and Carol, would you mind briefly just giving a quick intro about yourselves?
Sure. A little bit of my background and I was in ministry for about 40 years. I actually began in ministry full-time the same time Carol and I got married, and we're celebrating our 40th anniversary this year. And I went to Bethel West Seminary in San Diego. I got my MDiv there. And then after sometime in ministry, I went back in about 2000 and got my doctor of ministry in spiritual formation, which has really been a love of myself, of what I like doing with other people and sharing. And then also I'm a certified spiritual director. So those things have been sort of the foundations of the things that I love doing in ministry. I was a lead pastor at three different churches and in the English ministry. And I was also in one of them, it was more of an Asian church, so all English. The other one, they were sort of mixed between Cantonese and Mandarin and some Taiwanese. So a lot of culture in the different ministries that I was involved in. And we recently retired not quite 2 years ago. And then we moved from Thousand Oaks back to Orange County. And that's how we ended up at Renew.
Okay. And so how long have you guys been at Renew?
We've been there. You want to share?
A little bit over a year.
Oh, over a year. Okay. And Carol, I would love for you to share briefly about yourself as well.
So I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California, and my family was not Christians, but I did go to Christian private schools and the early 70s, my family moved to Monterey Park, and that's where I grew up the rest of my years. And for college, I went to Cal State LA and studied business and got a degree in IT. And I worked for about 4 years before getting married. I worked at Jet Propulsion Lab and then Boeing. And after we had kids, I had a desire to stay at home to raise our kids. And so all through Curtis's ministry, I stayed home until he resigned from a previous position. And so I went back to work. And that's when he went back to school to get his DMIN at Azusa. And then once he got his...
Pacific University? I got my master's there.
Yeah. So then once he got a job, then I stayed at home again. So, yeah.
Wonderful. And you mentioned having kids. How many do you have and how old are they currently?
So we have three kids. The oldest is 35, and he's married and has our first granddaughter. The second one is 30, and she just got married September last year, and our third one is 28. Did I say that wrong?
Yep, you got it right. Okay.
So more grandkids on the way then.
I hope so.
Wow, how exciting. Well, I would love to maybe jump into some questions here. The marriage seminar that you two led at our church recently, can I ask maybe some of the topics that were covered in the seminar, and also what was the main reason and purpose for both of you leading this?
Thank you. Probably the purpose was because we really felt in this time of retirement that God was actually calling us to invest in my children's generation. And all of our children were empty nesters, so we don't have that continual joy of being able to see them all the time. And when we thought about it, that we thought, like, but we could still influence their generation. And when we came to Renew, Renew is a church of that generation, you know, a lot of 30-somethings and older 29s or 20s. And when we started talking to them and we're in fellowship with them, we're hearing about their struggles in marriage and in child rearing and in even getting pregnant. So we just had a heart for that. And when we started to listen, we noticed that they were also coming to us to ask questions. And so we felt very respected and honored that they would do that. So mm-hmm. I was talking to our pastor, and we brought up the idea shared together about me teaching a class on marriage. So that's how it really started, was just wanting to care for this generation, wanting to invest in marriages, wanting to let our marriage and all the things that we've gone through, so many ups and downs, to be resources and stories and anecdotes that hopefully would encourage and help other couples as they go through some of the same struggles that Carol and I have gone through in life. So I think that's really the main thing as far as our purpose or why we did it. I felt called to it. And then with the class that we taught, is called Art of Marriage. And it is a class that is designed by Family Life Ministries, which is part of Campus Crusade Ministries. And in this, it covered six different biblical words about how God loves us. And the first word was steadfast, that God has steadfast love for us. But he also has resilient love for us. And there's four other ones. I won't go into all of them. But it was about how God's love is reflected in marriage and how we can reflect that love in the same way to our spouse and to our communities.
That's lovely. I love how you identified that. You said steadfast love, and then what was the second one?
The second was resilience.
Ah, resilience.
So, and the two go together so well because, you know, you think you're really committed to each other until you have a really major trial. And sometimes that trial causes conflict.
Right.
That's where the resilience comes in. So if you're going to be steadfast, you also have to be resilient.
Right. I can see how two of those really go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And God really demonstrates that.
Yes, to us.
Mm-hmm. Carol, did you want to add anything in addition to what Pastor Curtis just shared?
I wasn't quite involved with that seminar, if you want to put it that way. I was more involved in, well, we were having, sharing or talks that we're hosting at our house. So we've been inviting the couples in our small group to our home to talk about different topics, such, well, the recent one was on conflict. And so I think the those who came to our house really enjoyed it and was a good time to ask questions for them. And so, yeah, I think it's more nice when it's in a casual setting and they can interact with us, have breakfast. And so, yeah, I know that they've really enjoyed it.
Oh, so was this completely different from Art of Marriage?
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. And are these couples who came to your house, they're from Renew Church or just people and couples that you guys know personally? Or
yeah, they're from our church. We actually attend the Match and Attach small groups.
Oh, okay.
And we don't lead it. We just attend, and they just appreciate the time that we spend with them. Sometimes we're able to share insight. Yeah, I think just being mentors and to this generation and them looking up to us and realizing, you know, we've made it 40 years. So let's do something good.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure it out. So we keep going. Looking for the secret. Yeah, that part's been so fun because it was very natural. It's very grassroots. It just sort of happened because we are in the Match and Attach group. And we, you know, at first we just felt like we stuck out like a sore thumb. Here's a almost 70-year-old man, lady in her mid-60s. And, you know, we're with 20-year-olds. And they're dating or they're newly married. And, you know, at first we're like, oh, you know, are we in the right place? But we really felt called to it. And as we just sort of stuck with it, they just sort of embraced us. They accepted us as we are. And like I said, we tried to look at them as like our children's generation and to love them and to care for them. And I think that we felt this mutual attachment and attraction to each other. And what's really cool is like some couples have come to us and asked to go out with us. And like one couple simply said to us, we'd like to double date with you. So Carol, I said, I never thought I'd ever hear that term again, let alone a 20-something couple coming and asking us to go on a double date. And it was just so fun. We just went out for dinner. We just chatted about life, about marriage. And we just feel so like, this is the place for us. And so both Art of Marriage, Match and Attached, and even hanging out with couples, it's just been a real blessing to us in this season of our lives.
Yeah. I love what you guys are sharing and what you guys are doing, because I think there's such a need for mentorship, and maybe that's lacking, I think, in a lot of churches. You see, you know, oftentimes I think in Asian churches that maybe there's a lot of elderly, but there's not enough, you know, younger generation, or one church might have a lot of younger generation, but there is a lack of, you know, elderly, wise people. And so that is so amazing what you two are doing, and that you guys are part of that Match and Attach group. And like you said, there's 20-year-old couples seeking you both out and wanting to, you know, go on a double date. That's so awesome to hear.
And well, it's fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something that it's life-giving, I think, to all of us. And when they come over for the meals and, you know, we just, it's like sitting around the table with a smaller group of people. It's very inviting. It's very warm.
Yeah.
And it's less pressure in any other situations.
Less
teaching. Like you said, it's sort of mentoring and just conversations around the table.
Yeah. And since you're talking about that right now, I guess the couples that come to your home, right, which is, I guess, less formal, it's more casual, organic. Can you share what conversations have been very poignant or very thought-provoking, maybe for you personally and also the guests that were there?
I think that at first what I noticed was only the women of the couples were asking questions. And I think, as a man, I kind of relate to that. Like when we said, does anybody have a question? It was very quiet. Then a woman would raise her hand and ask a question. But then as time has gone by, like last week we had it, and I'd say equally, it was male and female asking questions. So I think like what's been poignant for me is that community still takes some time and familiarity. And there has to be a comfort level. Like you can't just, these things can't be staged. We don't have a real agenda. We have a couple questions like you have for us today, but we're willing to go off on tangent. And I think that freedom has allowed some of them to ask follow-up questions that are deeper. Regards to what your action is, we're talking about struggles with spending time together, and then somebody brought up the question about sex. Like, what if we just don't have enough time for sex? Like, is there something wrong there? And then how often should we, or what should I do if, he or she's not interested? So obviously we've already jumped into something very, very deep. And so we are, we are sort of putting those things in together as opportunities for us to either talk privately with them if it's a little too sensitive, or what's appropriate in a group setting. And so we're learning. I think we've only had three of these so far, but we've seen incremental growth as far as vulnerability and authenticity in each one.
You said something earlier about it starts with community, and then just having casual conversation, and that leads to more deeper, real questions.
Yes. But we do begin with the theme. So we try to make it very lighthearted. So we make funny, or I make funny, I use AI to make funny cartoons on the topic that we're addressing. So it's just, we'll post them on Discord, and they'll see what we're going to talk about, and hopefully it makes up draw some interest, and they come, and then they can present their questions on anonymously, so that we can then answer.
You have Discord app. Wow, you're more hip than me. I don't have Discord.
I have no idea how to use Discord. I let Carol tell me what button to push, and but they use Discord. I'm so confused on there, but. So far, it's worked.
Oh, wow, you're speaking their language, just being on that
path. Actually, it's something else. Like when I first came to Renew, I had to leave my app, my Google open, because I was trying to understand what Pastor Wilson was saying. He's using the language for the age group. Those three letters. What does OG mean? and there's different terms that I was been learning and. So yeah, so it's really good for an older brain to learn vocabulary.
Yeah, sometimes we have to ask our kids, what are they talking about? Because it has some reference to a video game or video. Mom and Dad, this is what it is.
No, I'm on the same boat. There's slangs that my kids, speak at home. I'm like, what does that mean? And then me and my husband start using it too. And they're like, okay, stop, mom, stop, dad. And with the seminar that you two led, were there some key moments in, whether it was during teaching or sharing time that you felt was just very heartfelt or moving?
And definitely, I think that I think one of the core values about our church is that we want to be appropriately authentic. We want to be genuine with them, being completely transparent. But there was just some really good times where I could share about Carol's and my failures or our struggles. And I know there was a lot of head nodding, and you can just sort of feel that there was this empathy that we had for each other's struggle in marriage. And I'm of the opinion that whatever struggle we have, everybody has in a different form. But so often we don't share in community. And this was one of the big themes that I felt I got and I was trying to instill in the class, because it's just a video series. So if you just play the video, it's very, you know, it's sort of static. It's still really good, but I knew that it needed a personal touch. And I think that personal touch was by being able to share stories and anecdotes about our struggles and about how we are still in process. And there was just a lot of, I felt like even verbal affirmation to me later about how they could relate to those stories and how it gave them understanding that, yeah, they wanted to be in process and they wanted to be able to share with others. And a lot of times we think our marriages are private and we don't share anything. And so we talked about the difference between being just personal and private. And yeah, there certainly is a private part and a personal part that we don't share with the outside world. But there's such a big part, as the Bible talks about marriage in community. And by comparing the wife to the church, it already gives us a picture of many people together, many people sharing community. So we really wanted to encourage them that it's good to have community on the topic of marriage, that it's meant to be that way, that this is how we can find both, you know, a safe place. It's not everybody you share with, but when you have that safe place, how encouraging it is to ask another couple to pray for you when you're going through a tough time, share the joy with you when you have a victory. And we really wanted to impress upon that. And I think that's why it was so much a blessing to the group of people who came, because we felt that community together. We laughed together. We could emote, you know, feelings of sadness together if there was that topic on that way. So I think those were very the real poignant moments for us, is when there was a connection through story about common struggles and then common, you know, joys and victories we long for.
What were some common struggles or challenges that a lot of couples maybe are facing or have faced?
Forgiveness, I think, was a really big one. How do we forgive? How do we not let that hurt simmer in our marriage? And the word it was one of the words of the six. It was luo, and it means to free, to set somebody free. So we talked about that, and we know it's Carol and I've struggled with that. I've struggled with that a lot, not just with Carol, but in relationships, like in the church, and being a pastor, that, you know, there were a lot of times a lot of tension, and I'd been hurt. And so I had to learn, like, did I really forgive? And I talked about that process, how hard it was for me. And I'm sure that they could relate to that. Forgiveness isn't meant to be easy. If Jesus had to die for our forgiveness, then part of us dies too when we forgive somebody else. And so I think those were the moments. And then I'll maybe let Carol talk on this one, because I know she was very, very big on this in our time at the brunch, what we have on the topic of communication.
Yeah, Carol, please chime in.
I guess, like, with communication, just learning to be good listeners, to be able to put ourselves in another person's shoes, learning to understand their language. You know, we come from different cultures, different upbringing as families, the way we see each other as men and women, even like the schools that we've gone to, or maybe not even been to school, like, you know, you have to bring the whole package together and try to figure out how we each think. And so, yeah, communicating, because like even for us, like I tend to be a better listener, and like Curtis is really good at expressing himself verbally. So in our marriage, we had to figure, you know, how are we going to make a good balance when communicating. So like, you know, that's the same for other relationships, other marriages, that sometimes we don't speak each other's language.
Yeah. That's funny. I feel like that's me and my husband. My husband's very good at expressing, and he wears his emotions on his sleeves, and I am more of a listener. But I think over time, my husband has really helped draw out a lot of my authentic self, and that what I'm really feeling or thinking, he's able to help me identify. So there is a lot of strength, I think, even amongst differences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how did you two kind of merge that together, the differences?
It really takes time. Like, this question was asked to me numerous times. Curtis, I know it's right. How do you do it? Right? I know I should love my wife. I know I should die for her. I don't feel it. I don't always want to, but I know I'm supposed to do it. So how do you do it when you don't want to or you don't feel it? And I would consistently say, you'll always have an opportunity, and it's a process. And you take whatever opportunity can come. It could just simply be to be kind to your wife that day. Yeah. Or it could be where you buy her a small gift, some flowers. Or it could be where you do apologize, or you do express forgiveness. But there'll be something. And then you'll probably fail again, right? And you get back and you try again. And I think our saying was, we're working on it. Like, people would say, how did you and Carol overcome, you know, those issues? And it's like, we're working on it. Because we're still the same people we were when we got married 40 years ago. I'm still a selfish person. I'm still very much about me. But I've learned so much in 40 years. And I've learned more self-control. I've learned more unselfishness. I've learned to pay attention to my mind and not just my feelings. But those things just take time. I think that was something too. It's like just really encouraging people. Like, Carol and I had really our biggest breakthrough that we felt was like that aha moment that changed our marriage in the 17th year of marriage. And it wasn't like those 17 years are horrible. I mean, there were some really bad years, but there were some really, really good years too. But it was the 17th year that I had my aha moment that totally changed, like, my understanding about myself, about Carol, about how I had actually been as a husband. I felt better about myself. We're still facing a lot of problems. But just sharing that with them, that it's a process. I think that was so important to repeat over and again, that we have not found the secret to marriage.
You have not found the secret to your marriage. That was going to be my next question.
Moving on.
End it now. Sorry, guys.
Oh, darn. We're just not post this.
But I love your just sharing here, Pastor Curtis. And you saying it's a journey. You said it's a process. And what you said, it was the 17th year that was an aha moment for you. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I caught it. Were you gonna you know, share what that is, or
what? If you want to. I wasn't, you know, I didn't want to, because it is a story and I didn't know if you wanted me to, but if you want to, I can.
Sure.
But the secret, if there is one, is that statement, we're working on it. If there was a secret to our marriage, is that we're working on it. And the reason we're working on it is because we love each other. We really do. And that was my aha moment, was when I realized I really, really love Carol. And I had loved her all those 17 years. But what had happened was, in the 17th year of our marriage, Carol was very sick. And so she has bipolar, and she had had a major episode. And in that episode, I was just distraught. I was just so distraught. And she was not herself, and she was in a very bad place. And I was trying to figure out a way to not hurt so much. Like, what can I do to not hurt? And I talked to a friend. He gave his suggestion. I didn't like that suggestion. And so I went home thinking, what can I do to stop hurting? That was the goal. And divorce was not an answer. I knew that wasn't an answer. That wasn't in my choices. Then I thought, aha, I know. If I love Carol less, I will probably hurt less. If I could just love her less, I will probably hurt less. And then as I was dwelling on that, this very clear thought came through my head. I cannot not love Carol. I cannot not love my wife. And when I realized that, I was all in. I was just like, we're going to figure this out. Like, that was my aha moment. Instead of, like, maybe up to that time, I said to myself, why, you know, I love Carol, you know, but this thing sucks. This is not what love is. And I think that at that moment, I realized that, no, this is what love is. It faces these really hard, impossible moments. You know, up to that time, she had not been treated for her bipolar, and it was getting worse. And we had no reason to think that it was going to get better. But I came to my aha moment there, and by God's grace, it was around the same time that she started to start to be open to treatment, start to be open to medications. And we started on the journey of getting well together. And so that was, like, you know, for me, that was our moment. And, you know, we've celebrated that day. That was, you know, she was in the hospital on September 24th, that year, 2002. And we remember that day as a day of celebration. That was a day that things started getting better for us in our 17th year. So that was the event. The secret, you know, as I guess it was just, we're working on it. And the motivation is practical and active love for each other.
Gosh, I feel so moved. It's your story is making me tear up. I can see just that unconditional love of Jesus is what really carried you in those moments. It sounded like it was a very dark place, but God carried both of you, and he was really standing between both of you during that time.
Yeah, definitely. It was all grace. You know, without mental illness, I think we thought we would have had the perfect marriage. We wouldn't have, but mental illness, because I also have mental illness. I have OCD, and I've had, you know, very bad clinical depression. So we understand, like, there are certain things that part of our human frailty. But in so many ways, we love each other so deeply. And I think that many, if not most, couples really do. Like, they really genuinely had a genuine seed of godly love for each other when they said, I do. But then something happens and they don't keep going. Like, they don't keep working on it. And because they think maybe they didn't have love or something else. And I think that by the 17th year, there was a lot of evidence already that we had overcome a lot of things. That was such a key moment. And that was just 1 year after 9/11, and Carol often calls this our 9/11. It was our test.
Carol, do you have some words, or I know that there's some emotions coming up for you too, but I mean, only if you want to share.
I know that the things that person I've gone through in regards to the bipolar, you know, it really could have completely tore our marriage apart. But I think for us, it was a thing, obviously, that binded us even closer together. And I feel like for marriages who are able to stick out those really tough times, because obviously we know many, many people who go through deep trials, whether it's health or finances or, you know, job or whatever it is. It's like, you know, how do you move through those difficulties, because those will prepare you for the next difficulty that comes along, because marriage is not always, you know, piece of cake. And so, you know, I always appreciate Curtis's commitment and his forgiveness, because there was a lot of forgiveness that he had to do because of the things that happened during that time.
And I'm so honored, Carol's courage to, in so many ways, like for us to be able to talk about it publicly. Like, you know, I need her permission to do that. And that we have had to fight stigma and taboos that would keep us silent, because it gives real purpose to our pain, that it wasn't something that was given to us because, you know, to punish us. It's something that happened and we don't know why it happened. It's a mystery, but it can be redeemable. And that's part of the motivation for us with younger couples. Like, most of the young couples we know are under 17 years of marriage. And to those even beyond 17, like the older ones, like they have their own stories like ours. Like, yeah, hang in there, because it will get better if you keep working at it. And so I think that it gives us this motivation. And it also really gives us a sense of empathy with couples who are hurting. And we really can genuinely say to them, like, it's worth it to keep fighting. It's worth it to even keep choosing to hurt instead of running away. Don't give up. And keep going. Because you're building something here. You can't see it right now, but God's doing something that's making you stronger than you realize.
And I think that even with our story, we've been able to share it with other people, because it's like mental illness. It's like Curtis was saying, it was and still is a taboo subject. So for 40 years ago, even, it was not talked about at all. And especially in a church setting, as you know, pastors, that was very frowned upon if even discussed. And it's like, no matter what trial it is, you know, whether it's mental illness or your situation, you can always share it to the next generation. It's like, this is what we went through. This is how we handled it. You know, this is our example, and I'm sharing the story so that, you know, you can have some nuts and bolts for you to build on.
Yeah. I suppose, like, when we look at the Bible, we see, you know, the stories of people who are flesh and blood and sinful and made mistakes, and it's in scripture forever. So we can learn to take the chance to let people see us. Okay. We can take that risk. And yeah, some people won't get it and some people might use it against us, but really we have found that the more we share, eventually the more people also share.
I just got this picture of, you know, a seed falling, and it has to fall. It has to die, right? And be scattered. And then God, it multiplies and bears fruit from that one seed that falls. And so, in just the same way, I think, it's just so humbling to hear the courage it required for both of you to openly acknowledge, hey, this is my mental illness. I'm going through this. And yeah, breaking out of that stigma, right? Because so many people, they are covered in a lot of shame.
And I think, like, being in Renew, it's in an environment where, you know, we can share, you know, during worship services, we share, and like sometimes there are questions just that relate so much with how I can integrate that with my story about bipolar. And when I do that and say, you know, I have bipolar, then another person say, oh, you know, I do have mental illness. And it's like, they don't have to say, oh, I just have a health issue, but it's a mental issue. So when I share, then they have their freedom to share.
Stephen really just openly talking about his, you know, struggles. And he's had many talks in front of the whole congregation about, you know, porn addiction and sexual addiction, and our church having resources to whoever is dealing with that. I love that our church advocates and stands for those struggles and not afraid at all to talk about that. And I just feel so blessed by both of you again. And thank you for just both of your vulnerability. It means so much that you two are so willing to speak on that here. And I know that listeners are also hearing this and feeling very humbled and encouraged as well. I am also just curious if there is, you know, maybe a charge for anyone listening in today who might be in just a very despairing place in their marriage, and they're really suffering in, you know, whether it's quietly or as a couple, and they are Christ followers. Is there, I mean, you've shared a lot of wisdom already, but one last charge that you might want to share right now?
Yeah. I think that, well, first of all, I would want to say, like, if it's a situation where there's abuse, right? We don't want to in any way allow for that abuse to continue. Yeah. So I want to get that out. If there's any abuse, if you're facing physical or emotional abuse, get help. Yeah, get help. Be safe. That's very important. You can still work on your marriage when those things are established, but don't go into it and continue to make yourself physically or emotionally damaged.
Absolutely.
So that said, assuming all other things like our marriage, which I think, you know, maybe it's probably most, where you're just facing some really like impossible, you know, impossible challenges. I think what I would say is look for help because it's there. Look for help. Most of all, of course, seek God's help. Like, look for the help that he gives you in his word, in prayer, and in community. And then that'd be the second thing I would say is find help in your community. Share it with somebody you can trust. Share it with an older couple. Share it with your pastor. And then share it with a therapist. If you have means and you feel that this is something that, you know, you would love to get advice on how to work on your marriage, go to a therapist. And those are the sort of the practical things. I think the heart behind all that is to believe that your marriage counts and to believe that you matter and to believe that this marriage that you're in is not impossible. It's there is, like, when you, everything you hoped for when you got married is still possible. And it's quite possible that it's actually being made into that beautiful thing through the hardship you're going through now. And look for God, look for help to make that dream come true. Don't give up. And I know that there are, you know, insurmountable probabilities of everybody having a unique problem that no one answer can address. But there is help. Don't give up. Continue to strive to love each other and to care. And if it's as simple as this, is think back to the traditional wedding vows. Like, maybe you didn't have traditional vows, maybe you just made up your own, but just go online and look at the traditional marriage vows and ask yourself, am I keeping them? Like for me and for Carol, it was in sickness and in health. I had not committed myself to that until I realized later that actually had been something God was working on in my heart. But if you just go to the traditional vows, ask yourself, am I committed to doing those? And just take responsibility on your own for that. You can't force that on your spouse. I think that's so important.
Yeah. Carol, would you like to add to this or anything you'd like to share?
I think just tagging along what Curtis was saying, that, you know, therapy is important. We've seen very many therapists for our marriage. It started off rocky, and I don't know if it was something easy that we decided to do, but we did. And like he also said, it's very important about community, because that's where you find healing, is being able to find people that you can confide in to share your story and your hurts and pain. The key too is people you can trust. Yeah, not just anybody.
Thank you for that, Carol. Well, I do want to be mindful of time. So, yeah, just I just thank you both for, again, sharing your story here today. And it's just so clear and so evident, just, again, that agape love that is between Pastor Curtis and Carol. I just see it's very palpable, as Pastor Curtis earlier was sharing, like, you know, you were saying, like, I love Carol, and I could not love her, especially during that 17th year. And there was another key thing you said about it. I mean, there's so many things you guys already covered and really just pierced my heart. When you don't, was it when you forgive, there's a part of you that dies?
Yeah.
Just so profound saying that too. And I think Christ really models that's really the gospel message, right? That he took it on himself and he took the weight and the sins of the world and put it on himself so that we don't have to be punished. And when we carry our own cross, right, there is part of us, a large part of us that has to die. And in the same way, I think forgiveness in marriage, when we give that to the other person or our spouse, that a part of, we do have to die to our own needs or our selfishness.
And like you said, it's like the acorn that falls from the tree. It too has to die, but then it can become fruitful. And I think, you know, the 17th year was the beginning of where Carol and I were able to start to actually look forward to fruit in our marriage. And it still took many years for it to develop, but we could start to see that, you know, there was fruit. A year after she was in the hospital, we did something which, you know, would seem kind of funny, but we celebrated her being in the hospital. We went to Disneyland. And we splurged on a day at Disneyland, and we just celebrated God's healing in our lives and in our marriage and in her body. And it's still been a very impactful way for us to express joy, even after, you know, a lot of pain. Yeah.
And I guess in some ways we saw that 17th year as we began our marriage again. It was such a big turning point for us.
We say that God has saved us many times and he saved our marriage many times.
That Carol, you said it, it's like that 17th year God began a new marriage. He started a new marriage. Oh my goodness. Yeah, so beautiful to hear that. Again, it just goes back to God. He does the impossible. He really is our savior and one who redeems and resurrects our deadness, right? Anything that we're part of that feels hopeless or helpless, like he really restores that. Wow. Pastor Curtis, would you be able to maybe just end it with a prayer for just listeners here who are tuning in, whether they're, I guess, in marriage or maybe seriously dating, maybe just a word of blessing over them as you shared your story today. And I feel led to ask you that as we close our time.
Be honored to. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing it is to us to be able to call you Father, meaning that we are your children and that you are a good Father and you look upon us with delight and love and hope and joy. And you empathize with us beyond the ability for any of us to, and you care. And so, Lord, we pray for all those who are married, who are going through hard times. We pray that they would continue to just keep working on it, that they would remember their vows, that they would look to their own hearts and say, Lord, help me to keep my vows to my spouse. And may they reflect to each other again the joy of that wedding day, that sparkle, that hope, that dream, and know that it is not dead, but it is very much alive, though it is being tested. May you give them courage, Lord, to keep on working on it. Father, I also pray for those couples who are experiencing great joy right now in marriage. Lord, may they just fully praise you, give you glory, and thank you that they are so well matched for the one that they're married to. that their marriage is fruitful, it's joyful. And may they share that joy with others, because you want us to celebrate joy. Lord, we see that in the Song of Solomon. There is a tremendous celebration of the love between the king and his bride, and their banner over them was love. And so we pray that they would celebrate their love, and that their community would be blessed in that joy, and that it would spread around as hope. And Lord, to that couple or that person who is single and still waiting, Lord, I pray that you would give them confidence in you, that you do have every good plan in store for them, even though it is a mystery and a painful one, and that they wait. And Father, I pray that you would give them an ability to embrace their singleness, because your word tells us that there are things that we can do while we are single that we just don't have the time and sometimes the space to do when we're married. May they just find great joy in the freedom that they have right now as singles to serve you and to be with friends and to be with family and to date. But we pray, Father, that they would have the courage to date those, that they would keep their standards high, mm-hmm. and Lord, that they would not settle, but that they would really want your best for them and be willing to wait until that time. Lord, we ask that you would give them hope and joy, and that even if they heard this message, that they would realize that marriage is an awful lot of work. It's not easy. And that in the right time, you'll prepare them for the right person that they can go on that adventure with, that journey. And so, Father, we do pray for all the generations of marriage that are listening today, that you would touch them with your Holy Spirit, that they would feel your love, that they could give that to others, particularly to those who are married, their spouse. But most of all, Lord, that we would give it to you and know what it's like to be your bride, as you are a bridegroom and as you are the King and our Lord. And it is in your name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Curtis.
Thank you.
I feel so blessed.
You're very blessed too.
I was crying the whole time you're praying, my goodness. Okay, well, thank you so much again, Pastor Curtis and Carol, for being here.
We're happy to be here, and thanks for the honor and blessing.
I am beyond grateful for Pastor Curtis and Carol's honest and tender testimony. Their simple yet profound phrase, "We're working on it," reminds us that a Christ-centered marriage is not about perfection, but about progress, grace, and daily surrender. Their story of forgiveness through Christ points us back to the heart of the gospel, where mercy is new every morning and love is not earned, but freely given. Agape love, which means God's unconditional, sacrificial love, is what holds us together when everything else feels like it's falling apart. In His kindness, God rebuilds, renews, and even resurrects the parts of our lives touched by pain and suffering. May you carry that hope into your own relationships today. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode. John 12:24, "Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds."